Okay, we are live.
I will call to order this hearing of December 9th, 2021 in the matter of case file Z0440-21-MOD, an application by Resurrection Catholic Church for an accessory gymnasium. My name is Joe Turner. This is an appeal of that decision. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that will follow so everyone understands how you can participate in the hearing. I start by saying I am not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the appeal before me today. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, although I have reviewed the materials in the county's case file. And I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. My role as the hearings officer is to conduct the hearing and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I'm required to apply the county's existing laws. I am not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff to summarize their staff report and any response to the appeal. Then, not their staff report, I'm sorry, the initial decision and then any response to the appeal. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal and respond to the staff report and appeal or director's decision and appeal. If anyone else wants to testify in support of the application, they may do so. I don't expect anybody, but just in case. Then the appellant will have an opportunity to present their appeal and respond to the testimony from staff and the applicant. Anyone else who wants to testify in opposition to the application, in support of the appeal, or with questions or concerns, you don't have to have a particular stance, but anybody who wants to say anything falls in that last category. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, I will give staff and the applicant an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Generally, I will issue a written decision within about 2 weeks after the close of the record. I will send that decision to the county. The county will send it to parties of record. So if you testify orally or in writing before the close of the record, you'll be sure and receive a copy of my decision when it's issued. Anyone with an interest in this application and appeal may offer relevant oral or written testimony. But testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the planning director's decision. Which I usually refer to as the staff report, so that's what I will probably do. It's important that you testify orally. My decisions are final for purposes of the county, but may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA. However, LUBA generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker know something about this application and appeal, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me. If the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, they must raise those objections before me as well. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. if I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. But whether or not the hearing is continued or the record held open for any other purpose, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anybody else wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other purpose, you must make that request before the close of the hearing today. In addition, my decision must comply with state law that requires that I issue a final written decision within 150 days after the application was filed, I'm not sure exactly when that is. I'll ask staff to let me know when that deadline expires, but there's some limit to how long I can continue the hearing or hold the record open. When you testify, please begin by stating your name and your full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. Although most people's names appear on my screen with this Zoom meeting thing, some people are appearing by phone, and sometimes when you start speaking, it cuts off part of your name on my screen. So please let me know how to spell your last name so I get it right. If you come back and testify again, please state your name again. It's not always clear if someone's listening to the recording who's speaking at any particular time, so that makes it easier. Testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria. Please don't repeat testimony offered by yourself or earlier witnesses. I take good notes and I can review a recording of the hearing if I miss anything. I'll leave the technical issues up to staff. They have a whole script they're going to read as far as how to participate through this Zoom process or whatever we're using. Mr. Laskow.
Okay, give me 1 minute here. My screen has gone black.
Of course.
So,
that's one of the joys of these online hearings.
Yeah, all right, so this meeting is being held by the Zoom format, and I have a script which I am required to read, and you are required to listen to just to make everything proper. So give me about a minute and a half here. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearings, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, both have audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator, that's Darcy. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording as soon as possible at our webpage. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer just went through process, but we're going to make that clear again as we move along. And we are looking for your testimony. That's why we're doing it this way. The hearings officer will make it clear when it's time for you to talk. And if you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature, which is a Zoom feature. I think most of you anyway have been in Zoom meetings with before, a couple I don't recognize, but if you can't figure out how to do that, we'll try to help you. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email the written testimony to me or just snail mail it to Clackamas County Planning, and I'm going to put up a slide at the end of the hearing with contact info so you can send in additional information or for you to get the decision. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer decision. If you do not wish to testify and would still like to receive the decision, please provide your email or standard mailing address. And again, at the end of the hearing, I'm going to put up a slide with that contact info. And that concludes the official Zoom script. Thank you for your patience. You want me to keep talking?
Yep.
Okay. So this is an appeal of an approved modification request. Resurrection Church has proposed to add a gym activity building to their existing development out there on Stafford Road. That development was approved through conditional use and modified through subsequent decisions over the years. Now, the modification process is a bit different than what I typically work with. The criteria used in processing this type of application are relatively clear and objective. It's not a lot of maybes or almost like it would be if it were for the initial conditional use. Point being is it's relatively simple to determine if an application for modification can be approved. In this case, staff found the applicable criteria for modification are met, and the application was approved. I'm not here to speak for the applicant or appellant, but if I understand this appeal, it's not so much an issue with the decision of approval, but with suspected potential use of the building by others and those associated with the church and school on site. The applicant and appellant, everybody gets to talk if I'm getting that wrong. But I'm just understanding that there's clear concern about who's going to be using this building. Through the initial decision, I made findings clearly stating that that decision was based on the submitted application, including the description of the proposed users of the building. And I put in conditions to that effect that it applied to what was being applied for. I did not think it proper to add conditions limiting uses that were not being proposed through the application. I mean, there's any number of uses a building might be put to, but the approval on appeal here is specific to uses proposed through the application. Now, I'm going to... Can I share, Darcy? Yeah, I can. Thanks. Okay. Oh, good. I got it right here. All right. So let me zoom through this really quick. Okay, so as mentioned, this is a modification. This is not a new conditional use. This is a modification to previously approved conditional use. The criteria are very different. We all know where the property is. In fact, hang on 1 second. I'm going to start somewhere else. I'll get organized in a minute. Give me a minute, though. Screen just went black again. Why is that happening, Darcy?
You started screen sharing, so is yours back? No,
it's literally just black again.
No.
Yeah, so.
We're seeing your screen. Were you scared?
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. I can't. It's like a map of the surrounding area. It's not all showing.
No, it's still cooking. No, this little
laptop, map.
This little laptop takes a while. I think I'm just going to back that then. Let's just go back here. So we all have to hope I accidentally press the leave button and then I'm just out of the meeting. Anyway, so I don't have a map to show you, but trust me, the property is at 21060 South.
Fourth slide seems to have a map.
Stafford Road, right. Here's the general ballpark area. Here's the big road there. They call it the 205. Here's Stafford kind of bisecting at this angle. This is Eck Road coming off Stafford. Here's our subject property. It's comprised of three tax lots. Underlying zone is rural residential farm forest. Everybody knows what the area looks like. It's kind of a mix of uses, rural residential. There's several large places of worship and associated activities going on. You've got the neighborhood church across the street from this. Directly across the street right here, the other side of Stafford, you've got the one that needs its own zip code, Rolling Hills, sorry. And then you got Athey Creek down in here. And there's just a lot of stuff goes on along Eck and Stafford, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows the traffic impacts and other impacts. So here's our subject property. I got it lit up, zoomed in a little bit more. Here's the existing development. As I say, there's three tax lots involved, but this is really the area of all the action right here, and the proposed area is right here. For what it's worth, there's a delineated wetland up here in the northern part of the property, completely outside of this projected impact area, which is right here. Here's a proposed new gymnasium building. Here's the main church. I'm going to go back to this. You got the main church building here, the assembly hall. This is where they want to put this thing, is right here. All right, so is everybody orientated to the site? Here's the criteria that applies. Section 1309, sort of the parent code section here, and it's modification. And that kind of gets you to different code sections. And I went through this in the staff report in detail. I'm going to be really brief here. We because I think we all know what's going on. This is mostly notes to myself, but I'm going to read this just because it's, I think, relevant. This proposal involves adding a new building to a current development. This is a gym activity center, approximately 8,000 square feet in size. Hopefully we can talk about that size because it does seem to be a moving target. The use itself is allowed as an accessory use to what's already there, which is a church and a school approved. The initial staff decision considered this new proposal for this gym building in light of what's already there and what exactly is being proposed. We're looking at a gym building accessory to the school and church in place. This is not a new standalone use. Section 1309, there's three main criteria which must be met. First one being the applicant needs to show, county needs to find that the modification is consistent with a prior approval. The initial decision goes into some pretty good detail on land use approvals for this use. The church itself and some classrooms, there are more catechism type things, a Sunday school than a school. But the initial church use was approved in 1991. And like I say, there's been subsequent approvals, modifications, and changes since then. Use on site remains as originally approved. And this use proposed here is typically accessory to those uses. So this first criterion is met. The proposal is consistent with the prior approval. Second criterion, you show that modification shall be consistent with all ordinance provisions in effect on the date the modification request is submitted. And this is because zoning ordinances, comprehensive plans, those are living, growing documents. Things change. And in this case, over the years, there's been, you know, some changes. But since the original approval, and I reviewed the relevant code sections, the underlying zone itself, RFF5, the specific 800 sections for churches and schools, and didn't find anything that this proposal runs afoul of. How's that? So this second criterion is met. The proposal does or is consistent with the code as it exists now. Third criterion is broken up into a whole bunch of little subsections. First, it needs to be shown that the modification shall not result in a change in the type of use. So there's no change in type of use proposed with this application. There's a church and school there now. That'll continue. This gym building as presented is a use accessory to those approved uses. So there's no change in use. Shall not result in an increase greater than 25% of the original approved floor area. I went through the calculation in the staff report and was able to find positive in this, so that it will not exceed that. Third part of this criterion needs to be shown that modification shall not result in an increase greater than 25% of the original approved lot coverage. This is a 12-acre site. It's just a very small amount as far as lot coverage. That one's fine. It needs to be shown that it will not result in an increase in the density of development or intensity of use. This decision considers a proposal accessory to what's there now with no particular increase in density of development or intensity of use. Moving on then through this third criterion, must be shown that it will not result in an increase of traffic congestion or use of public facilities. Based on the application as submitted and as, you know, presented as an accessory use to uses currently on site, I was able to find favorably for this one. Also shall not result in reduction in approved open space. I know there was no specific open space approved as part of any of the original approvals, but still this is going in an area already developed, so I think arguably can be shown that it's not reducing any open space approved or otherwise. Next part of number C is shall not result in a reduction of off-street parking spaces or loading berths, and as shown on the site plan and as described in the application, this one is also met. Finally, it needs to be shown that there's no reduction in required pavement width or change in major access locations, and neither of those apply here. I sent notice of the application out to the usual suspects, various county agencies and departments, the community planning organization, and neighbors. Received comments from Water Environment Services, WES, and their requests and conditions were incorporated to the initial decision. Received brief comments from Development Engineering Traffic, and they didn't have any particular concerns with this because they were looking at it as presented as accessory to what's already going there, not a new traffic generator on its own. And we're going to detail that later. Received comments from the CPO and also comments from Mitch Jones. Mitch Jones is in the audience and will be speaking later. Mr. Yamada is here, chair of the CPO. and also will be speaking as we move along. That was it for the comments, and I wanted to make a note. I received additional testimony this morning, which nobody's seen. I even haven't had a chance to read it yet. Certainly the hearings officer's not had it yet, but I got additional testimony submitted by the applicants from Mr. Ped and also from Mitch Jones, a member of the appellant group, which will be included in the packet that goes to the hearings officer, certainly. But if Mr. Ped or anybody else wants to detail what they submitted this morning, this might be a good time to do it. And with that, I'll just sit here quietly unless there's questions.
Where are we with 150 days?
Clock? Oh, that's right. That's right. I dug the staff report out. Hang on a second.
Is it in there? I didn't see it, but I was just skimming right now.
I'll get it. Trust me, I've got it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can track it faster than I can.
Well, maybe I've got it. I don't know if I can find it. Okay, so the clock for this one is up on... Am I still sharing my screen?
No. Yes, you are, but
yeah.
We're just seeing your PowerPoint still.
Okay, because I'm actually on a gambling site now, and I just wanted to make sure nobody saw that. February 25th. February 25th is the 150-day deadline.
Thank you.
All right.
Is the applicant here represented?
Would that be me?
No, the applicant. Yeah, I understand you're the appellant, Mr. Yamada?
Appellant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ronald James has a hand raised, I'm assuming.
No, that's the applicant, Mr.
That's what I thought. Can we promote them or whatever we need to do?
Hello.
There, I can hear you.
Hooray. Success. I was having Zoom meeting anxiety.
Don't blame you.
Okay. My name's Ronald Ped. I do business at 1220 20th Street Southeast in Salem, Oregon. I'm an architect and the project architect for Resurrection Church. I'll be brief in my comments. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow, for your comments. We concur with the staff report. The gymnasium's primary use is to provide indoor play space for the children, students at the church, at the school. And of course, we would expect that with construction of such a facility, there would be the odd pickup basketball, volleyball game. The church already has a parish hall, things like weddings and funerals and a lot of stuff is already accommodated on the site. So we don't see any additional traffic. To that end, I have submitted a report from Transite Consulting LLC, and his report concurs with that. The only comment from his report is a gymnasium is not a classroom and does not increase the student capacity, but like an auditorium, staff offices, break rooms, and cafeteria, this use supports the overall functionality of the school and the church. Similar athletic facilities already included within the sites that comprise the ITE database, and addition of previous omitted service or amenities does not add to the overall trip generation potential, which again is based on the number of students. To underscore that, traffic will be insignificant, perhaps an evening or two a week, Saturday, maybe a Saturday. The church will not be programming the gymnasium on Sunday. Sunday creates most of the traffic problems that I would think would be of concern, and we don't see that traffic would change at all because of the addition of the gymnasium. The church doesn't have concerts or any other high traffic events. Whatever impact the church may have at this point would remain unchanged. And since the students are already on the site, traffic wouldn't be generated by more students. And with that, I conclude my testimony and would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Ped. The neighbors, the opponent's concerns seem to be primarily that you would lease this facility to other recreational groups for basketball, volleyball tournaments, that sort of thing. Do you have any objection to a condition of approval prohibiting lease or rental of the facility?
In general, I, you know, would be opposed to anything that would limit the use of the gym, but clearly, there is no intent to do that. And their primary function when there would be an issue would be like Saturdays and Sundays. And I don't believe that that would be, something that would be adding traffic. It wouldn't be something like we would be leasing to a ongoing, I'm trying to think of some sort of outside concern that would be using a, like a 24-hour health fitness or something like that. It would be a basketball league or something like that that might be part of the church. And it wouldn't be, you know, a spectator type thing, so there wouldn't be a whole lot of traffic.
Okay.
Mr. Pett, I had a question. There's the size of the building.
Oh, yes.
Is it, during the pre-application meeting, we started out at 12,000, then it dropped to 8,000 with the application. And I've seen a couple of comments come in now referencing 7,000.
The 7,000 was from the traffic engineer, and that the actual gym is 7,000 square feet. There, with the restrooms, it's about 75. I never asked for exactly the number that we're adding. I always have a little bit of fluff in there because things grow from time to time, and when I have my entitlement in place. But the application we've applied for, I believe, is 7,600 is the actual building permit.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ped. Just for the record, is anybody else who'd like to testify about this application? If so, please raise your hand. Mr. Glasgow, did you say how they can raise their hand if they're on the phone?
Actually, on the phone, I don't know how.
It's star 6 or 9?
Star 9.
Star 9, thank you. So if anybody's on the person who's on the phone, if you want to raise your hand to testify, you can hit star 9. Mr. Ped, I see your hand is raised.
Sorry, I tried to put it down.
Oh, okay. It went down. That's back up. Click it once more. It should go. There we go. Mr. Yamada, I understand you're representing the appellant.
Yes. This is I'm representing the Stafford Tualatin Valley CPO.
Okay.
And, yes. And so my name is Randall Yamada. That's Yamada 3291. Childs Road, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97034. And should I just go ahead and explain what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Stafford area, which is Stafford Hamlet, includes the Stafford Hamlet organization and the Stafford Tualatin Valley CPO. As a community, we're trying to we're working to establish a better communication with the county leadership and planning as we feel our concerns are getting lost in the process in processing planning and zoning decisions. So the county and statewide planning goal system needs to be followed by both the citizens and the county. And the the Stafford Tualatin Valley CPO and Stafford Hamlet support the narrative issued by Mitch Jones as a private citizen. We request the use be identified as a gymnasium or athletics building limited to use by the Resurrection Church for church and religious education services activities. As in the prior approvals, there were some prior approvals that limited the school activities to, limited the school activities to the church and the school specifically. The gymnasium use identified in, other zoning categories is actually not allowed under the RRFF5 unless it is by government or zone change is accomplished. And as we know that with the, as long as the UGB extension, the five-party agreement are in place, that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this means we would use would be limited to the 60 or fixed number of students as identified in the Z0471-11-C approval. I think it was a 2011 approval. And the gymnasium identified in urban residential and commercial districts, in other words, in other portions of the zoning ordinance, would not be allowed. So no commercial use would be allowed, such as consistently leasing, renting, or allowing others to hold events in the facility. And I just have to note that although Mr. Ped is could be involved as a policymaker in the church, that in general, consultants don't really know and aren't really involved in the decisions of how facilities are used. And later on, because they're just consultants, they come, do their work, and then they leave. So they would have no ability to influence those kinds of issues. And that's why we believe that in the application, we should have we should establish limitations. Proposer says increased traffic is unlikely. Requiring these conditions as limitations for approval, the modification would help make increased traffic impacts unlikely. And that's where we're at. There are special conditions, including surface water drainage management, well water supply, septic, fire protection to be addressed by the county. We'll review those if they're issued to us. We don't know whether the process, we're involved in the process, or the process goes to the public after this or not. And I think the other comment I had about the process here was that the statewide goal criteria, the goal criteria wasn't included in this application, and maybe one of you could tell me.
Yeah, the statewide goals are not an applicable approval criteria. Once the county's code has been acknowledged by the state, that's the criteria. So the goals aren't directly applicable.
Okay, but in other applications, we're seeing goal criteria, a checklist on goal criteria. And so I was wondering why that doesn't happen with in the county applications. So you've clarified how the county sees it. And then also I just wanted to make sure that Mitch is on the Zoom call and would like to speak as a citizen.
I understand.
CPO.
Okay. The only question I had, Mr. Yamada, was noted this prior school approval and that it had conditions limiting its that use. You mentioned a case file number. I didn't catch it. Do you know what the case file number is for the school so I can track that down and see what those conditions say?
Z0471-11-C.
Thank you.
The approval.
I could find that from the county's website.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Mr. Jones, I see the hand raised for the phone number. We'll come to them next, but I understand Mr. Jones wants to testify. You'll need to unmute yourself. Do they unmute themselves?
Yeah, Mitch is ready to go.
Okay. Mr. Jones, you'll need to – there we go.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for all the information. Is there a way to share my screen?
I'm going to have to ask our technical staff.
Can you light him up? He has a PowerPoint he wants to share.
We'll need to promote you or something to that effect, so give us a second.
Thank you. We get a raise, too?
Double your salary.
There we go. Now it's zero now, so it works.
Yeah. Now you should be able to share your screen. And where is that, Mr. Glasgow, on the bottom?
Are you on an Android or an Apple?
I got it. I see you share screen here.
Great, okay. Great.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. Are you seeing my screen now?
Not yet.
Should just be a big green button in it, and it's going to share whatever you happen to have on right now. So.
I thought I hit share screen. Okay. Oh, so I see share over here. I got it.
There you go.
Okay, now it's starting. We're not seeing it just yet. There we go. There's your PowerPoint.
Okay, right. Okay. I've actually sent this exact PowerPoint this morning, so it should
Thank
be.
Thank you. I was just going to ask you that.
Yep.
I understand you submitted something, but I haven't seen it yet. So
yep. It's not dissimilar to what I sent in several weeks ago before the decision was made. Okay. It's quite close, in fact. So my name is Mitch Jones. I'm at Range Shadow Ranch, 1850 Southwest Eck Road, Westland 97068, and Jones, J1ES. And I am a CPO board member, but I'm particularly testifying as an individual person, if you will. My testimony is quite similar to Randy's. The ranch we live on is 10 acres. We have a number of horses. We live just down the road from the church, half a mile or so. Just an FYI. So my request overall is basically, again, to have explicit restrictions from the county, excluding commercial uses for the gymnasium. And I'll go through some of the details of why and what I think about that. Next slide. My concern is really not clear what the plan actual use of the gymnasium is for the mod application. I mean, you can say it's a gymnasium, but in table 316-1, a gymnastics facility is approved, which I'm sure is for gymnastics. So it's somewhat implying what the use is, but a gymnasium could be for anything. It could be for tournaments. It could be for concerts. It could be for play school for the kids, et cetera. So it's really, I think right now the mod only defines it as an 8,000 square foot gymnasium. And that's the 8,000 square foot is what I saw in Clay's report and in the file, I thought. And I want to clear myself. I'm not really opposed to church being able to have a gymnasium. I think it's great for the school. I'm supportive of private schools and I think it'd probably be great for the kids and for the church. I just want to make sure that things don't happen, that the church thinks, well, gee, we can help pay for this by renting this church out or we're having tournaments ourselves and charging people to come in. And that's where the extra people coming in, implications on traffic, noise, et cetera, potentially would come in. So I'm not really opposed to the actual application approval as it was, except for, I want to have some language added to any current CUP or the mod approval that the commercial use be excluded. Cause basically I believe a special review for traffic, septic, water, et cetera, is needed if they bring on a lot more people. And some of the uses could do that. And there's no existing similar commercial use in the ZDO or table 316-1. So I think that something to preclude that or make sure the church understands that that's what the expectations are in the future. Now, not to say they couldn't apply for something in the future, but just at this point in time, if they haven't done the evaluation, they shouldn't be able to have that done.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm kind of restating things with the, I'm just suggesting the proposed gymnasium facility should only be allowed for church member activities and church school activities. And this would allow normal church school interscholastic games and individual school games with entry fees. Like you normally see any high school game you go to. It's a small school. You're not going to have big, huge events, but when a high school game happens, I've been to a lot of small school games and it's fun and that kind of thing I think is fine. But when you bring tournaments in and there's 8 games per day and there's hundreds of people coming in, suddenly, you know, you haven't evaluated the traffic, the parking or anything like that. Shouldn't be allowed. Same with things like concerts that were mentioned, that shouldn't be allowed, without some kind of a evaluation or CUP or even modification to zoning, which they really can't do. I just want to point out in the next slide really that the really closest thing to having special events like this, like a tournament or something, really is like a Section 806 special use, which is really a home occupation to host events. In that case, if a landowner wants to have host special events like this, they have to apply for a CUP. And of course, they have to be the actual homeowner actually has to be living on the land. So that wouldn't even apply. But that's the closest thing that would allow something like this to happen. But the church doesn't live there. And there's certain restrictions on that, and how many people you can have per day, how many, what the parking you have, that, et cetera. Was there a question or you just want
no,
to
I understand. I'm very familiar with that code. So,
okay, sir. Great. Okay.
Where are you going?
And secondly, really kind of a minor point to me, but the mod plan proposal actually exceeds 50% lot coverage. The application has the 122,000 square feet of parking, 14,600 square feet of sidewalk, 39,143 of building. If you add 8,000 and you divide by the property value, the property square footage in the application, it's over 50%. Okay. I mean, 51%. I'm not making a big deal of this, but really some kind of waiver should be in there that such that the next time they ask for something, it'll be even more over 50%. And again, I'm not really making a big deal of this. I'm just pointing it out that it seems like there should be documented that really what they're doing is actually slightly over what the code says. Not a big deal for me, just bringing it up. Just in summary, I just want to see language added to the commie mod to restrict the commercial aspects of special event use of the gymnasium, just to make sure that your church is not counting on using that to help pay for the gym or pay for their church, that type of thing, without going through some kind of special permit, if they can. And that's really all that I have. Again, I'm not generically opposed to them having a gymnasium. I mean, if they want that, I think it's probably great for the church and their kids. And that's all for me.
Thank you, sir. And if you'll stop sharing your screen, is there anyone else who'd like to testify? And as soon as Mr. Jones stops sharing his screen, I can see any raised hands. I know we had one for that. There we go. The phone number 503-351-5319, *9, is that correct, to unmute themselves? Or no, let's raise hand. *6 to unmute. That looks like you're unmuted. The person who's calling in. But I'm not hearing them. Can you hit, is it *6 is correct for unmute?
Okay, are you hearing me now?
Now we are. Now we are.
Are you hearing me now?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. My name is John McCabe, 435 Southwest Michigan Lane, Westland, Oregon, 97068.
How do you spell your last name,
McCabe? I guess I have it. MC, capital CABE.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, I am a member of this church, but the current concern I have is recent CUP approvals where people have said we're going to do X and they do Y. And the code enforcement out here is non-existent. In fact, the one that they did, they kept on saying it's no big deal, no big deal. And then all of a sudden they said, you know, you're right. S&H logging has a problem. We're going to code enforce it. Thank you. And I'm like, how about every time I call, I get a positive answer? Because I'm not crying wolf. We do have problems out here. Like during the pandemic, the rugby soccer field was leasing their field to Willamette United Football Club because public land was not allowed to be used. Private land, there was no enforcement of the COVID restrictions. Mm-hmm. And so this is a concern for the people in the area. We have seen violations during the COVID pandemic, and we want them enforced from here going, they should have always been enforced. And we're like, how are we going to get, you know, when restrictions are put on? The church is very good saying it is for the 60 plus kids because they're trying to go beyond grade 3 and they have all the right to do that. But based on what neighboring organizations have done, including the Rugby Cup of Oregon, it's a concern that there have been other organizations that have violated their cup agreements. And without the code enforcement, these organizations should know up front, you do this, you lose your cup. And it's, and that's not happening. And that is the concern. I believe the Church of the Resurrection will follow what they have stated. They've been a good neighbor. I should know I'm a member of that parish. But our concern is for others. Like today, because we haven't seen it, across the road, which was said by the staff member as Rolling Hills when it's Athey Creek Christian Church, they're developing something new. They have two cats out there working on the land. And we have no idea what they're doing because there was nothing brought forward to the public.
Thank you, Mr. McKay. That's an issue that's not, I have no jurisdiction over.
Right.
I understand that concern.
Right, but
I recommend you raise it with the Board of Commissioners. But I understand how it relates to this and that you want some specific conditions to bookend this development, if you will, this use. And I understand that concern has been well addressed. I will consider all those arguments.
But the whole thing is what we're stating is there's been a past history of going, we won't do that.
Right.
The concern is we're not going to buy that anymore from anybody.
Thank you.
That's my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. McCabe. Is there anyone else who's not had the opportunity who'd like to testify? Mr. McCabe, I think I steal your phone number. If you'd click on the *9 to lower your hand so we know we've – thank you. No one has Mr. Glasgow noted that the applicant submitted some new information today, which nobody has, including myself, has seen. Does anybody want me to hold the record open so you can review and respond to that? I just want to make sure that that's clear that that happened. If so, please raise your hand and let me know. Otherwise, I will not hold the record open for that purpose.
Just as an aside to that, the appellant, one of the members of the appellant team also submitted new evidence today that nobody's seen.
That was Mr. Jones, wasn't it?
Correct, but the applicant has not seen that either.
Okay. I think Mr. Jones just said that was his PowerPoint that he just went through.
Okay.
But, yeah, the applicant's going to have an opportunity.
I'm not dealing with that, but okay.
The applicant automatically gets a week for their final argument.
Okay.
So I'm not seeing anybody, so I'm not going to hold the record open for that purpose at this point. Anything further from staff?
Well, I just wanted to address Mr. Yamada brought up, and I think what you were talking about with the goals, I think you were talking about the comprehensive plan goals, which that's
That's
our acknowledged comprehensive plan, and those were addressed during the initial more cumbersome conditional use proceedings for this. That's where those get looked at, but I think that might be what you're referring to, and those goals are based on the land use goals, but there are goals that we can administer and do administer through the conditional use process. They're in our local comprehensive plan.
Thank you. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was referring to the statewide planning goals, which I think of as the goals. I apologize for the confusion there.
That also. But yeah. They're part of your comprehensive plan goals also.
Yeah, the comprehensive plan goals would be directly applicable if this was a new conditional use.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Ped, anything further from the applicant? Mr. Ped, we're not hearing you yet.
Hello.
There we go.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm a low-tech kind of guy. just a couple things that hopefully will – I realize that other folks in the neighborhood have put upon the neighborhood. That's not our objective. And I think the church has a really good record of not being an offender or pushing the envelope. Let me assure the community that this is not a fundraising opportunity. The building has been paid for by a benefactor. And, I think we're a good neighbor.
Okay. Mr. Ped, the applicant has the right to have me hold the record open for an additional week for you to submit a final written argument. Do you want to waive that right, or do you want to use that?
No.
You know you want to waive that right?
No, I do not want to submit further argument.
Great. Thank you. So you're waiving the right. So I will close the record at this point. I'm going to take this under advisement because I haven't seen the new information submitted by the applicant. I saw Mr. Jones's PowerPoint, but I wanted the opportunity to review it in detail. So I'm going to close the record. I will issue my written decision on this application within about 2 weeks. I'll send, where does that put us Christmas-wise? Yeah. I will do my best to get it out before then, because that is right about 2 weeks, but I will send that decision to the county. The county will send it to parties of record. So anybody who's testified orally or in writing will be sure and receive a copy of my decision when it's issued. And that concludes our hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. I know.
Are we alone in the room?